welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned into the broadcast again this week. We're picking up a study here in Mark chapter 10, verse number 23. Last time we left off the Lord Jesus dealing with this the rich young ruler, as we refer to him. He desires to know of a surety that he will inherit eternal life. The Lord tells him to keep the commandments. He believes that he has. Then the Lord, loving him and beholding him and loving him, it says, said, "One thing you lack, and that one thing is me." The man went away grieved, the scripture says, because he had great possessions. He could not see the benefit of giving up this world and the things of this world and following Christ. The Lord had told him, said, "Lip service will not be good enough. You must take up the cross and follow me. You lack me, and you must follow me." They said he went away grieved, having great possessions. In verse 23, it says, "And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly can they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" An exclamation. "And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" And so the Lord, when they marveled and were astonished at his words, and I kind of wonder, we don't take the disciples, the apostles, to be very wealthy men, although there were some of them that we know were businessmen, one a tax collector for the Roman government. They may have had some wealth. They may have been, as we would say maybe today, middle class, upper middle class, could be. And they were astonished at that. Were they astonished at that because of the doctrine of the Pharisees? And I think that this certainly could play into it. Remember that the Pharisees would say, if you're healthy and well, if you have wealth and prosperity, then God's blessing goes upon you because you're doing good. They looked at the Lord as being kind of a benevolent grandfather, that if we do what's right, he will give us all that we want. And if somebody is sick, if somebody is in want, there's just got to be some kind of problem with them, because they're not being blessed by God in that way. And they misunderstood the economy and the working of God. Sometimes the Lord gives wealth and ability and prosperity to men, and he does so because of what he desires to accomplish in their life. Sometimes the people of God, those that are saved, don't have very much, and maybe are rather meager in their life in this world. Some are given great ability. Some are not given much ability to gain wealth. Well, whatever we do have, it's because of our Lord and his blessing upon us. And they may be thinking that riches were a standard, or at least making a good, you know, a nice, solid living was a standard, and they are astonished at Jesus' words. He says, "Children, how hard is it for them to trust in riches?" And that's really the thing. The love of money is the root of all evil, the scripture says. And the Lord says, that man that went away, he presently is trusting in his riches. He likes what he has, and who wouldn't? Okay, don't dispute that it's not. It wouldn't be a blessing to have the wealth that that man had, but he trusted in it. He rested in it. He could not turn loose of it. He did not see the following of Christ as a great a greater and better thing. He could not get past the temporal to see the eternal. And he trusted in them. Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? He says in verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. There's dispute about this passage, whether it's talking about the eye of a needle, a particular gate, coming and going from Jerusalem, where the camels would have to bow down and kind of walk on their knees to be able to get through that gate. I take it literally that a camel going through the eye of a sewing needle, even a large sewing needle, is just impossible. Listen to what the disciples asked the Lord. They were astonished, verse 26, out of measure. So they're astonished. They can't believe what they've heard. Again, maybe some of them having some wealth, not being extraordinarily rich, but again, some of them businessmen before the Lord called them. They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved? who can be saved if this is the case?" They're telling on themselves, aren't they? They are telling about their own trust in riches. Maybe that doctrine of the Pharisees is just really super ingrained yet at this time, and they say, "Well, is there hope for any of us? Who then can be saved? Who then can enter into the kingdom? We all need money to live, and for the children of God that desire to serve the Lord and walk with the Lord and be obedient to Him and His call upon them, the children of the Lord that have been called into His church and the demands and the requirements there by our Lord to serve and worship in His church and at the times of services and such as that. You know, it can be a great wrestling that we can have about the work that we need to do in this world to support our families and the money that we need and be faithful to our Lord and obedient to Him. Sometimes we have to give up jobs that conflict with our worship and service of the Lord. Sometimes we just have to settle for less, to be obedient to our God and to follow His way and economy and in the home and the family. Sometimes we just to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to take up our cross and follow Him. We need to put the things of this world in right perspective. We need to use them, but not abuse them, or abuse ourselves, or sin against our Lord with them. And it can be a great wrestling. The apostles ask, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "Remember how it said in verse 21 about He beholding the rich young ruler and loved him. He told him the truth. Jesus, looking upon them, and so He looks them in the eyes. He looks around on His disciples. With men, it is impossible, but with God, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible." So, the Lord Jesus says, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a sewing needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, because he's ate up. He's filled up with his riches, and he trusts in them. He is most attentive unto them. They say, who can be saved? Jesus says, it's possible with God. God can break through that. You know, this rich young ruler, and this is the thing, is that we have the wealth of this world and the riches and the things of this world, the money of this world, and we use it, and we're to have it to use it, and as the Lord gives to us, prospers us, provides for us. But we don't need to hang on to it with a white-knuckle grip, if you understand what I'm saying. This man was told to go sell everything that he had and take up the cross and follow the Lord. Why is it that we immediately rush to the point that the Lord wouldn't bless him even more afterward? See, isn't that the way that it is with us? We think, well, if I give up what I have, I will never have it again. Well, see, what we need to do is we need to rest in what the Lord wants for us. If the Lord desires me to be poor, understand, I will always have him and not be poor. If the Lord says for me to give what I have in this life for his sake and for the gospel's, does that mean that I will never have such again? No, it's not a guarantee that I will, but it's not a guarantee that I will not. And we always take that negative aspect or that negative way with us. But with God, all things are possible. What is it that Jesus says in the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, rather, that the Lord says that we need to pray that our Lord would give us our daily bread, and he will be faithful to provide for us as he sees fit. And if it comes to a time that we would suffer hunger and want and need, the Apostle Paul was in such a case. Lazarus, the beggar, was in such a case. Others of the Lord people have been found at times to be destitute and without. We can know that our Lord's grace will be sufficient for us, and he will provide and will help. Then Peter chimes in, and he has a quandary here. Then Peter, verse 28, began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. In other accounts in the scriptures, in the Gospels, it says there that Peter said, We have left all and followed you. What shall we have? And so we're embarking on a passage here that's going to speak to us about don't make deals. Don't make deals with God. Okay? I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.